welcome to another episode of the Do Big podcast. And today we have with us a lady who has married research with technology. And I'm super excited, given that I come from the world of research, to have this conversation with her. We have with us Shweta Bhardwaj, co-founder and CEO, Sprint Studio AI. And Shweta, welcome to this show. It's an absolute pleasure having you here.
Very excited, Sheetal, and pleasure to be here.
Shweta, I'm going to jump straight into the conversation. And you know, you are Sprint Studio AI and you are a part of the Google Accelerator program, which I think all of us women very often look forward to being a part of. Can you share some key insights, you know, from your experience in the program and how it has influenced your journey as an entrepreneur?
Sure, Sheetal. It's always a pleasure to talk about it. So let me start by first talking about why SprintStudio.ai happened and how we landed at Google for Startup Accelerator, right? Yeah, I come from the knowledge industry. And, you know, one of the most important part of our job is to connect organizations and companies to their customers and consumers, right? Now, the systems that have been built around us or to digitize the entire experience just about touches the upper strata of the consumers, right? 6%, 10% of the consumers who we reach digitally today, right? And, you know, often the question is asked, ki, what next? Okay, and what about the rest of the consumers, right? So COVID happened, it shakes the industry. It shook multiple industries, right? And I thought it was, wow, a big opportunity for and a big moment where industries would transform, and many did. But unfortunately for the research one, it just slipped through the cracks. The transformation just didn't happen, right, for me. Yeah. And that's where, you know, I sat up and said, I don't want to be part of this conveyor belt at all, okay? And when I don't want to be, you know, part of this conveyor belt, it really meant that I wanted to reimagine the way research is done, the way research is experienced by our clients, people who are looking for insights, etc. And that's where the birth of SprintStudio.ai really happened. Each of the words have a meaning. Sprint for speed, studio for creativity, and AI is really embedding tech. And like you said, right, it's a marrying of research, which is a service industry, with technology. And that's where the birth really happened. Our idea is not breakthrough, right? It is very intuitive. So when we were applying for Google for Startup Accelerator, one of the things that did happen was the response that we got from the teams who were interviewing us. So Google for Startup Accelerator actually goes through like 4 rounds of intensive screening of startups, right? This was the first cohort of women founders that they were putting together in India. So to be part of this cohort, the top 20 startups coming from research industry, which is not, you know, seen to be the biggest breakthrough in the world, right, was validation for us. Okay, it was a huge recognition for us to really call out the fact that what we were doing was right. We were on a right path. There was a great market and product fit that got validated through that entire process and our journey at GFSA, right? What did GFSA do for us, right? I mean, why was it so important? And every person that I meet, I often advise them to go apply for an accelerator and no, don't wait for your perfect solution. Apply as early as possible because it truly accelerates your journey, right? And when I say that it truly accelerates your journey, it comes from a fact that, you know, in a service industry that I'm sitting in, I started to think about productization, okay? And what productization does is it gives you scale. It gives you a very different platform to play on, a very different business model thinking that comes in, right? So some of the pivotal points that happened was right after, you know, we made it through Google for Startup Accelerator. We got visibility. 2, we got recognition. 3, we got respect, okay? On that platform that was offered by Google themselves, we actually ended up getting access to, mentors from across fields, okay? Whether they were, helping us in the tech discovery, whether they were helping us in UI, UX designing, or simply challenging our business models, okay? And day one at the boot camp, I was challenged on my business model, right? And I sat back and thought through what I need to do next. So a journey that I would have covered, say, in 4 years or maybe 5 years, in a normal course, I think I covered in 5 months. And that put me on a very different path. And today, I don't call myself just a research agency. I call myself as a representative of ResTech, which is about, democratizing, say, customer centricity, right? Not just for large organizations, but anybody who needs it today. Everybody needs to listen to their customers and they need to know what to do next. And that's where what we are building is going to touch whenever, inshallah.
Shweta, as typically, I remember a couple of years back, till Gen AI happened and even before that, every time when there was a talk about AI, people would talk about saying things like, creativity is not going to get impacted, or research, for example, was not supposed to get impacted, and things like that. And I just want to understand, where do you see the landscape changing for consumer research with AI?
Oh, there is a massive shift, Sheetal, which is happening in research.
Correct.
So let me start by saying, you don't adapt technology to survive, but you should adapt technology to thrive now, okay? And that holds so true for research, right?
Absolutely.
And I will break it down into 3 parts for you, okay? And where the development is happening. And I have a whole lot of startups who are doing massive or bringing massive change in this area. There's tech, there's AI, and there's Gen AI, right?
Correct.
Now, when you look at tech today, what can it solve for? What are our real-life problems when it comes to research, right? It can solve for speed, it can solve for quality, and it can solve for cost, right? Something that didn't come together at any point in time. Only technology can enable that today. Now, for example, product or the app that we have built to solve for this brings together concept of micro communities. Communities is not a new concept, right?
Correct.
But bringing it together on a platform to deliver a seamless journey to the consumer on the other side was very, very critical for us in what we were building, okay? Till today, the consumer had a very transactional relationship with research. They came in, they did, an interaction for 2 hours, they went away. They didn't know what was really going to happen with their feedback, etc. What we are creating, for example, through tech and many others who are operating in a very similar space, is creating a two-way interaction with consumers, which means better engagement. You can bring in design thinking, which means you can do iterative research. You can have asynchronous, always-on platform, which means nobody's knocking at a consumer door or interrupting them at their busiest time, and they can come and answer at any given point in time during the day, when they have the 15 minutes to really sit down and think through what they want to share. So stories and consumer stories and conversations have been enabled by research in a very, very different manner through technology. And it is delightful because you now can collaborate with consumers, unlike saying ki mujhe feedback chahiye ya aap mera survey bhar do. Or moving away from it, I'll go back to some of the triggers that happened along the time. Is I remember a client from Shaadi.com called me up and said that, hey, the research form or the survey form that my customers are getting from you are dated. It's taking them back by 10 years. Look at my UI. And always felt the research was, in the space of catch up with technology. And there's so much more that's happened. And we're just not keeping pace with that, right? today, that's possible to do with so much available, with us. So that's the first part of it, right? Which is technology helps us connect. Technology helps us deliver a far better experiential, space to consumers, clients, and us as researchers. Now, coming to AI, once, you've collected the data, which means that, tech has kicked in, AI helps you fuel automation and gives you real-time access to data, which is what a whole lot of clients or organizations in this hyper-innovation space are aiming to do. Can I get insights faster? Again, going back to an example where, my client at Book My Show once told me that ideas get generated in a week and research gets delivered in 4 weeks. How can you collapse it down? It's not fair. And that's where automation, real-time reporting makes a whole lot of difference in terms of guiding decisions and helping clients stay ahead. There is a lot of innovation that is happening in this particular space, and you will see a lot of platforms that are getting developed to solve for this particular problem. Third leg, which is coming in through, Gen AI. Okay, there's a lot of progress that has happened, in the last 1 year or so. It's been rapid, right? One, it has made, startups like ours, which would have taken, say, a few years to innovate and get the automation in place, with OpenAI, with, open source, you're able to build tech stacks and solve for things in months. So, for example, we are creating a query system along with automation. It's just been 6 months and we are almost ready with a beta version to roll out. Now, that is an experience that none of us had in the past. And that, I think, is a space that is extremely delightful and helps us, literally keep imagining. And now it is like the speed of imagination by which you can bring in technology.
That's really interesting because, we're doing some research right now and we're using platforms exactly to do what you've said, right? We connected with consumers and we asked them to do things over 5 days at a time that is convenient to them, all of that. So you're absolutely right. It really, really does help the two-way process. And then you can have conversations on that. And, a lot of the involvement comes in. When you think about just AI as a buzz, currently it's still, while a lot of people are using it, etc., but it still has what I call buzzword status, not necessarily in research, but per se. Do you think a lot of MSMEs still think that it is jargonistic and find it difficult to wrap their heads around AI?
So it's very interesting, right? The word that comes to my mind when I think about how MSMEs decode AI at this particular point in time is curiosity, okay? The storm called LLM literally touched everybody, everybody's talking about it. And, it's not restricted to, you can't even say it's restricted to one sector versus the other. It's touched everyone, okay? Now, it has, in my view, resulted in one or two things, okay? One is, I want to know more, okay? Two is, I don't want to be left behind. So, I want to do something with it. And that, I think, is a very big trigger to get people started. There are, of course, barriers that come down the line. But what I want to do is talk about some of these cohorts of MSMEs that I've met who are thinking very, very actively about AI in their lives and AI to create business use cases, right? Now, an MSME that you may not think about will think about AI is, for example, a guy into nuts and bolts space, okay? And I'm talking to him spontaneously, the first thing when I ask him about trends and he talks about AI, okay? And I was like, wow, I mean, how is this guy thinking and imagining about AI application within his own business? He has an office in X, in Mumbai. and then somewhere a manufacturing unit, and how is he really thinking about it, right? His idea of AI was to actually solve a real life problem, Sheetal. You know, so imagine what he told me was that I have a raw material, which is where I, you know, my capital input really goes in, right? Can AI, looking at the design of the product, tell me if I can save on raw material that I need to invest on upfront? Now, that's a huge application for him in terms of efficiency, cost saving, and finally profits. Now, that's what, blew me away, right? Saying that, you know, when it comes to, you know, deciding on capital investment, inventory management, or even taking order bookings, right? Small retail spaces, right? Who are talking about automated order bookings coming into them. These are very specific applications of AI, but I see them as nuggets of building a tech application in many, many different ways. So there is a very active cohort, which is at this point in time, thinking about it. But is it at a surface level or a level below that? My sense is it's at a level below that, not at a level where they've gotten into exploration and are ready to, you know, apply that in their businesses right away. So the challenge really is how do you get them to a space where they can start thinking about technology and AI very, very actively in terms of application into their businesses.
And when we talk about them embracing, right? So one is this whole fear of missing out, and that has happened across board. I think a lot of organizations, where MSME and otherwise, have gotten into this whole space saying, I have to bring in AI into the organization. How can we do it, etc. But from your experience, if you had to kind of talk about where, how, where to begin, what should they consider when they are embracing AI to stay competitive?
I think it's not easy. Okay, this path is definitely not easy for any organization to get started with. I mean, you know, when we really look at digital transformation, right, for any organization, I think there are two big issues that, you know, come in forefront. One is discoverability of the right solution and the application. I feel that a business owner or an organization does know where the gaps really exist in terms of solve that is required, right? But where they get stuck up and the time taken to solve for that is around discovering what should I apply.
So, you know, when you spoke about the fact that there are a lot of them, they have interest in it, but there is a lot of them got onto this whole bandwagon because of FOMO, because you couldn't be seen as being left behind. But if you really had to adopt, you know, AI or digital into the system, then where, what are the strategies? What should they be doing? What are the first steps?
That's very interesting. Yeah. In terms of adopting technology and AI for your organization, I think the first hurdle that comes by is the issue of discoverability, right? For the right solution and application to solve your problem. The next one that kicks in is efforts that it takes to implement it, right? At both places, what you need is a technical guidance. For example, us, right? We had to solve for a lot of ML issues. We had to solve for a lot of, applications in this. The app that we had built and the other platform for automation had very different problems. So we were tapping into Google specialist, calling out specific use cases. For example, digitizing for the rural. So we spoke to somebody who gave us her experience. And in half an hour, you know what you should not be doing and the spaces that you should be able to pursue. Now, that is the kind of access organizations today do not have. And those are the access points that need to be created for them. And tech partners, I think they play a very, very important role. The second thing that's very important, and I discovered even with you know, MSMEs who had a very strong AI-based applications themselves, right, were not well-versed with the entire landscape that exists today. See, the tech innovation is moving at very high speed. How many of us know enough about the solutions? Now, taking the case of this particular MSME that I was talking to, they had tapped into a local vendor for their cloud services because they didn't know a branded and a secure space was available in a similar cost to them. So that awareness, that access to check of what is available to me as MSME is also lacking, right? So socializing, for example, as an outcome, use cases where MSME equally has access to tech solutions. The solutions have been democratized for them as well, is a space which is blank at this point in time for many. And therefore, you know that they want to, but they can is not really happening. And the space is very interesting. They can, but they don't know they can.
Right. Which is so true. And I think that was going to be my next question, that not everybody manages to get access to Google Startup Accelerator, right? If you are an MSME who is not in that space, what are the kind of things that they should do to be able to educate themselves, inform themselves better, get into understanding the space better? You know, what do you think is going to happen or should happen with them? What should they do?
I think the first point is they need to be very clear about what they're going to solve for. And then I've seen many of them, kind of get access to technology and discover the right technology through their own peer groups. But what doesn't come in easy is the effort you put in terms of informing yourself in terms of what is available and taking the next step to discover further. Because even today, you may not have access to accelerators. But you have so much available through tech partners, whether it is Tata Tele, Google, Amazon, they're happy to invite you over and tell you what is available and how can you simply even improve your performance, improve the performance of your app. India is an innovation hub, okay? Now, if I was to tell you or ask you a question, Sheetal, how many apps get listed on Google Play Store every year? Take a guess. Take a wild guess.
Couple of thousands.
8 lakh.
What?
Yes, it is 8 lakh. And that's exactly what my mentor at Google had asked me. That gives you the size of people who are actively thinking on tech, isn't it? Right? And that's where the massiveness really exists. So the MSME will innovate. They will solve and the scale will come through the larger organization. And that's been the way it is, right? But that is where we need to start looking at the size of this sector is very different. What we're looking at is just the tip of the iceberg. There is so much beneath that. I'll give you a very small example. Years back, I was part of a jury with Mahindra Trucks, right? There was this lady who had built an app to manage the load system two-way, right? No accelerator, nothing. She was just solving for a problem. An app built in Tamil Nadu, executed. Brilliant. So people are finding ways to solve for problems. They just need the right access in terms of where to go, forums, networks, to actually fuel that. It's all there. Just that it needs a catalyst.
Given that you come from a research background, what trends have you noticed in the digital adoption journey of small and micro, enterprises?
Digital journeys are very interesting. There is amazing openness to solve for everyday problems. Okay, they may not be using the most predictive tool, the most fanciest of tool available today, but they're solving them through tools that they understand, right? So for example, whether it is people management, right? Or whether it is audio management, whether it is inventory management, whether it is client meetings across geographies, whether it is reminders, you know, which comes in through RFQs, whether it is, invoicing data. There is a whole plethora of, you know, areas where MSMEs struggle. They have found their Jugaad Tech applications, which are rather simplistic. If we can, you know, take them into a space where they can solve for it in a very, structured manner, apply the right technology, it will be an inflection point in my view. They're ready. Okay. They're ready, but not yet there.
Okay. And as we wrap this conversation, because I know we can go on forever, but as we wrap this conversation with you, if you had to give one piece of advice, okay, for our listeners to understand their market and gather insights, you know, from existing customers to understand new markets, etc., to boost their growth, what would that advice be?
This is one of my favorite spaces because, you know, when we talk about product superiority, we talk about functional superiority. Mind you, anybody can copy it, right? Your competition can come copy it overnight. What your competition cannot copy is your emotional connect with your consumers and customers. And that can come in only if you're obsessed. And I really mean it, when you're obsessed about your consumers and customers. So rather than an advice, I actually want to ask everybody a question. Are you listening to your customers and feeling their problems every day? If you're not, then start doing it today, because that's going to give you the long run. That's going to give you the sustainability. That's going to help you thrive in this competitive environment. Nothing else.
Shweta, that was a wonderful answer. Thank you very much. I think everybody, and there are enough large companies and CEOs who keep talking about the fact that you need to be obsessed about your customers, Amazon being one of them. But it's absolutely fantastic to have you on this Do Big podcast. And, you know, it was such a wonderfully insightful conversation with you. Thank you so much for giving us your time and being with us here today.
Thank you. Pleasure was mine.
Thank you for tuning in to the Do Big podcast, a podcast that is dedicated to providing insights, strategies, and success stories of smart digital solutions for SMEs. We believe that behind every successful business, there's a strong foundation of reliable and secure technology, be it digital connectivity, cloud infra, cloud apps, collaboration tools, or cybersecurity solutions. In a rapidly evolving digital world where technology is key to progress, Tata Telebusiness Services stands at the forefront of digital transformation of SMEs. Tata Telebusiness Services, with their extensive experience and commitment to empowering businesses, understands the unique needs of SMEs. Whether it's scalable connectivity, robust communication tools, or tailored ICT solutions, Tata Telebusiness Services is here to propel your business forward. Tata Telebusiness Services is synonymous with innovation, reliability, and transformative solutions. So, if you're ready to take your organization to new heights of success, we encourage you to explore the transformative possibilities that Tata Telebusiness Services has to offer. Our contact details are in the description below. Remember, we're available on all major podcast platforms. So, if you enjoyed today's conversation, subscribe to our podcast for future episodes, which we promise will be packed with equally valuable insights on questions entrepreneurs face as they digitize and scale businesses with the help of technology. Don't forget to rate and review our podcast, as well as share it with peers, colleagues, and other entrepreneurs like yourself who will benefit from listening to it. Thank you for listening to us. And until the next time, keep embracing technology and may your business thrive in the digital era.